Okay, Romans chapter 12. The last chapter in chapter 11, Paul had gone deep into the nature of the relationship between God and Israel, and also the idea of being brought into the family of God and those who were somewhat cast out of it. And he begins this, and at the conclusion he had talked about the counsel of God, how unsearchable and how really in many ways unknowable. Because as much as, you know, the scriptures say, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that God by His Spirit will reveal to us all things. True. But this is never an instantaneous download into your mind, in the wholeness of it, or that would be extremely unusual and rare. God gives each man or woman a portion, or as much as He deems is fit for them at that time and at that place. He does reveal Himself to us, but there are many aspects to which really we may, you know, we may not look into. We are not His counselors. We are not His advisors. He takes counsel with Himself and has already determined the outcomes. So with that in mind, I'd like to begin with verses 1 and 2 here in chapter 12, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when I see this, it says, by the mercies of God. Because without the mercies of God present, you will not be able to present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. That's not going to happen without His mercy. See, again, that's what it shows, like, the good things come from God. And all the things we do in faith come from God. Presenting your body a living sacrifice is something that has to be done by His mercies. Because you can't make your body holy unless God gives you the grace. And the words grace, you know, meaning graciousness, gift, you know, so on and things like that. And then mercies here is where it signifies compassion. And these things are very intertwined, at least in the realm of emotion. Mercy. Grace. Right? And he says, this is your reasonable service. Literally, that word in Greek is logikos, which sounds a lot like logical. Which means rational. It's reasonable. It's a very good translation. But what it means is, considering all that God puts out for us, it is reasonable that we would offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, how do you, you know, he's saying offer it holy. So it already has to be holy. Ultimately, it is when we are willing to give up our lives. But it's not a dead sacrifice. Well, no, well, you can't. Once you're dead, you can. Once you're dead, offering yourself is meaningless, right? I'll offer myself to God when I'm dead. I'll be holy when I'm dead. I've heard that. You know, it's like, well, I'll be perfect when I'm dead. Yeah, you'll be perfectly dead. God wants our sacrifices while we're still alive. He wants us to be able to offer our bodies, our vessels, in a holy state while we are yet alive. This goes back to the things that we've learned, that in this present world, we are supposed to deny ungodliness and live a holy and acceptable life. And that we also have learned that the only possibility of that happening is by God's giving the ability to perform those things to us. And I think that's where people's problem is with, because they want to make faith simply accept a set of facts about Christ, meaning, well, we accept the fact that Christ did this and accept that he did that, and we will trust in him for ourselves, and we accept this set of laws, and that is faith. When faith is the accepting of everything that God has promised to do for you as a Christian. We accept all those things, and we are have a readiness and a diligence to perform them. And even those things, even the ability to accept, even that comes from God. We don't want to conform ourselves to the world, but we want to conform to the image of His Son. And we want to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. We want to be transformed. That word in Greek is the word where we get our word metamorphosis from. Like the change that a caterpillar would go through to become a butterfly is called metamorphosis, right? And we want to go through a metamorphosis in our lives. And how do we obtain that stark change, that stunning difference between the fat little caterpillar and the light and lofty butterfly? It is by the renewing of our mind. Renovation. It's funny because people will renovate their houses. They'll renovate their cars, right? They'll renovate all the things around them. But their minds are always the same. They're always thinking the same way, always headed in the same direction. But we need to constantly update. Like a computer has to have, you have to have your software updated. You have to have the new operating system. It's questionable whether you really need all that, but in God, you do. It's questionable whether you need it all, but it's there. It's certainly questionable whether you need to renovate your house, but it's there. It's available, isn't it? Well, your mind also can be renovated. And when you renew, change, and alter your mind, and you will be transformed. And the purpose of that is to prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, what?